Beautiful. Thank you. Our gospel reading this morning is found in Luke, the 19th chapter, and it's Luke's account of that first Palm Sunday, if you will. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethany at the hill called Mount Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went out and found it just as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. He went along. People spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds today. Well, this morning I want to think about Jesus as the coming King. We've been doing this series on who do people say that I am, and this morning thinking about Jesus as the coming King as we think about Palm Sunday. But first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this tourist who was sport fishing off the coast of Florida. It wasn't too far from the shoreline, but his boat overturned, and he clung to the boat for fear of alligators. He wanted to swim to shore, and he clung there, didn't know what to do, and finally he saw one of the beachcombers, an elderly man, looked like he'd been there for a while, and he said, "Are there any gators around here?" "Nah," the man hollered back, "they ain't been here for years." And so the tourist began to slowly make his way swimming towards shore, and then about halfway to shore, he thought of something, and then he yelled out to that same beachcomber and said, "And how'd you get rid of the gators?" "We didn't do nothing," the beachcomber said. "The sharks got them." Sometimes you think you're out of danger and things are actually worse than you think. And we think about Jesus this morning making his way to Jerusalem, really ultimately to Calvary, and things were really just heating up for Jesus. But Jesus knew that as he approached Jerusalem and as he approached really ultimately Calvary. And this morning I want to think about Jesus as the coming King and King of our hearts and lives. And you know, all of us, we like winners, you know, and someone might not be very popular in the political polls, but all of a sudden if they get up ahead of steam and everyone starts falling, then more and more people fall just because they're excited about that. And the same thing when it comes to sports teams. We like to follow a winning sports team, and most of us have lived a disappointing life in this past year in Indiana. We like to follow winners, and I think there's something to that. I think that there's something of an element in worship in that. I think there's a built-in element of worship in our hearts and lives, and if we don't find the right spot for that in the right way, then we're going to worship wrong things, and wrong things become king of our lives. And this morning, I want to think about Jesus as coming King, and Jesus is the King where Jesus is received as King. Jesus is the King where Jesus is received as King. And this prophecy from Zechariah that fulfilled all this says this: "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your King comes to you victorious, righteous, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a colt." Beyond the moment, I think all of us might be tempted to think, well, that was just something that happened 2,000 years ago. But the truth is that all of us, in some way or another, can find ourselves maybe among that crowd, that parade of people. There were so many people there that welcomed Jesus enthusiastically. So many people enthusiastic there about Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And many of those people would evaporate. Their support would be gone in only moments as the shadow of the cross loomed there. And I think for all of us, we have to ask ourselves, is Jesus the King of our hearts and lives today? And if Jesus is the King of our hearts and lives today, then how do we react to him? Listen again to this prophecy in Jeremiah. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is right in the land. In the days of Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior." And so as we think about Jesus as the Savior come to Jerusalem that day, and this is really the beginning of Holy Week, and how everyone seemed to welcome them except for the Pharisees, the question is, how do we receive Jesus in our hearts and lives today if he is really the King of our lives? And I think the first thing to think about is, if we're to receive Jesus as King, we need to do what Jesus says. to do what Jesus says. It's easy to welcome someone who's popular or brave when everyone seems to be welcoming them, but it really comes down to the brass tacks of the situation where we do what Jesus says. And Jesus even then asked some people to do some hard things. To sort of pick up that story and walk through it, it says this, and Jesus approached Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who went ahead went and found just as he had told them. And while they were untying the colt, the owners asked him, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it." Now, sometimes when we read scripture, we think back then why all the disciples sort of had the script all laid out for them. They knew their parts and they played them exactly as they were told. But the truth is, it wasn't that way. And even right here, Jesus is asking people to do some hard things that would be easy to question. Imagine yourself to be one of those two disciples. We don't even know which two disciples it was. But they had to wonder to themselves, first of all, you know, we're going to go, and are we really going to find a colt? And then if this colt has never been ridden, then that's a problem. That's not an easy ride the first time or even taking it anywhere. And then to add to that, what is the owner going to say? We're just going to untie the colt and no problem, take it out of there. So it took steps of faith to obey Jesus along the way. They went, they found the colt. Sure enough, the owner said, "What are you doing with that?" And they said, "Our Lord needs it." And sure enough, the man seemed to just let it go. And then they had to wonder, as they're bringing that colt to Jesus, Jesus is going to be in for one wild ride here, this first sit. But Jesus, they put their cloaks on it. Jesus sat on the colt. And so sometimes as we go through life, Jesus asks us to do things where we don't have the answer to that. It's a simple step in one way, but it's hard to do it in some other way. Now, you and I probably aren't going to go find a colt for Jesus, but there are little things that Jesus asked us to do. Maybe to share good news that a neighbor, or invite someone to church, or to just do something for someone in need, someone who needs a little extra money, or someone who just needs someone to care for them and to pray for them. But if we take that step, we're doing what Jesus said. If you go on in that story, it says this: as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." We see elsewhere that people were part of that throng. And so people received Jesus, and that took a step of faith too. They fulfilled the prophecy by laying down palm branches, which were a sign of royalty, and it was a fulfillment of prophecy. So children and old and young alike laid these palm branches down and said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and they welcomed Jesus as a Messiah. And these were the ordinary, everyday people. Now, on the flip side of things, the Pharisees, the religious people of the time, the people who would be the most prominent maybe today, be our churchgoers, did just the opposite in the temple. They began to plot Jesus' death on the cross. And so the people who you would thought, well, they're outside of things, the children, maybe the young and old who weren't part of that, welcome Jesus as Messiah, and the people who should have known what the prophecy said and should have followed Jesus' words did just the opposite. They began to plot for Jesus' death. So it isn't always the people who we think will follow Jesus' words and Jesus' ways. Sometimes it's the people we don't think that. And we have to look at ourselves and say, even though we've been brought up in the church, are we really doing what Jesus told us to do? That's the real sign that Jesus is King of our hearts and lives. Mark Twain once knew a businessman who was known for some ruthless business practices, and he was up in years, and he told Mark Twain, he said, "Before I die, I want to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I want to climb to the top of Mount Sinai, and I want to read the Ten Commandments from the top of Mount Sinai." And Mark Twain, who wasn't known to be terribly religious, said, "I got a better idea. Why don't you stay in Boston and keep them?" The truth is, for us, sometimes we look for a holy sign and all that, and really, it simply means that we're going to follow the words of Jesus, to follow what he told us to do. And so, what is it that you can do to help someone, to be showing Jesus love? What is it you can do to maybe say something and to live our lives worthy of what Jesus told us more than 2,000 years ago? How else can we know that Jesus is king of our lives? Well, we try to feel what Jesus felt. We do what Jesus said, and we feel what Jesus felt. Maybe it's harder to do that, but this is what the story says in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. As Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, and he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within the walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." You think about Jesus as he came into Jerusalem, and that word wept means that Jesus was sobbing, and there's actually a spot, there's a little temple, a little chapel right where Jesus is supposed to have stopped there, and it has a tear-shaped dome on it to remind us that Jesus stopped and wept over Jerusalem. And when you think about that, Jesus' tears, Jesus weeping over Jerusalem was for a number of things. First of all, for their lies, for their eternal lies. And also, in a very short time, around 70 AD, the Roman Empire would sweep into Jerusalem and destroy everything, even the temple, all the buildings would ruthlessly kill men, women, and children. So Jesus knew that was going to happen, and Luke alludes to it here. And Jesus also wept for, I think, probably all of us. And the question I think that we have to ask ourselves as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, Jesus wasn't weeping for his own future on the cross. He's weeping for the eternal lives and even the suffering that people have here on this earth, knowing the suffering that those people would go through in a very, very short time. And I think for all of us, do we feel what Jesus felt? I mean, not exactly, we wouldn't know the cross, but do we feel in Jesus' heart the things that Jesus cared for? Do we care about the lonely and the downtrodden, the grieving and the sick and for those in need everywhere, not just in our own community, but around the world? And I think really that's what it means to feel in that way. There's a story about this rabbi who was a famous rabbi but lived in a small cabin in the woods. And he had impacted a number of his students in a profound way. And one particular student who'd been touched by this rabbi's life later on in life came back to that rabbi. And he approached the rabbi and he wanted to do something special to show the rabbi all that the rabbi's life and teaching had meant to him. And so he went to the rabbi and told him that and asked the rabbi what would make him happy. And the rabbi looked at him and said, "Do you know what makes me weep?" And the disciple said, "No, you don't understand. I want to know what makes you happy. I want to do something special." The rabbi looked again at him and said, "Do you know what makes me cry?" And the disciple was confused at that and frustrated. And so he said, "No, I don't know what makes you cry. What makes you happy? I want to make you happy." And the rabbi again looked at him and said, "Do you know what makes me weep?" And he was so frustrated. And the rabbi looked at him and said, "Unless you know what brings tears to my eyes, you can never truly make me happy." And I think that's so true in Jesus' life too. Unless we really know what brings tears to the eyes of God, tears to Jesus, and we share that with him, we cannot make Jesus happy. And I think what brings tears to Jesus' eyes today are suffering people, both near and far around the world, who don't have enough to eat, who don't have parents to care for them, who don't know the good news of the gospel, who don't have anyone to share with them, to listen to them, to share a broken heart, or to share a moment, to have parents. One adult can make all the difference in the world of a child in need of someone to care for them. And so if we know what really brings tears to the eyes of God, tears to Jesus, and we care with the heart that Jesus cared, then I think we can make Jesus happy and he's Lord of our lives. So do what Jesus says and feel what Jesus feels, and finally, tell who Jesus is. Let me share the good news of the gospel. It says this: when Jesus entered Jerusalem, this is in Matthew 21, 10 and following, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And that word stirred there, that word stirred is really seismo. It's a word we get seismic from. In other words, Jerusalem and the people were so stirred, it was like a whole eruption. They want to know, who is Jesus? Well, 2,000 years have passed, and there's still people wondering, who is Jesus? Some people in a turbulent way, but everyone who's really experienced Jesus has their heart and life changed in a powerful way. And sometimes we think, well, everyone has heard the good news of the gospel. Everyone knows who Jesus is. Everyone knows about, you know, Palm Sunday and Jesus' life, giving his life on Calvary on Good Friday and the resurrection on Easter morning. But the truth is, maybe people just think that's just like some old news and not a reality of their life today. And so the question to all of us is, who can you share that with that's really never heard it in a meaningful way? How it's impacted your life? People at work or at school or, you know, on the farm or the field or the factory or wherever they are, maybe even the grocery store, someone there, who really doesn't know who Christ is? Who doesn't know about Jesus' love in our lives and how Jesus died for our lives to save us from sin and to give us the hope of eternal life? You never know when someone's last day will be. I mean, I shared that with my brother-in-law, passed away so suddenly yesterday. And you never know when someone's last moment of life is. You might think we have a lot of time, but we don't. And you might think it's just for older people, but young people pass away quickly. And it's never when we think it happens. And the question to all of us is, have we shared the good news as if it were the last time we'd ever see that person again? As if that was the last moment they'd have to know Jesus and love and enter into eternal life. It's funny, I think all of us need to think about that Palm Sunday, and it's easy to join a parade, but is Jesus really Lord of our life? Is Jesus really King of our life? Someone once said that Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And to be Lord means we surrender everything. To be Lord really means that we do what Jesus says, that we feel how Jesus feels, and that we tell who Jesus is. I invite us all as we enter this Holy Week to invite others to know the life-changing force and power of God's love and to let God's love change our hearts and lives. If you've never had that happen in your life, then I invite you just to pray in your heart along with me as we say this prayer together in our hearts. Will you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, my King, I thank you for all that you suffered and endured for my sake. We need you. We worship you. We surrender to you. We ask you to forgive our sins. We accept your death on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for all the things we've ever done wrong. We ask you to come into our hearts and take your place on the throne of our lives. Rule over us as our Lord and our King from this moment on. Help us to follow you not only in word, but also in deed. Help us to do all that you say and to feel as you felt in your heart and to share the good news of your love with all people through your power and to your glory. Amen.